It's really good to see your faces here this morning. I got a chance to say hi to some of you before the service, and if I didn't get a chance to say hi to you, please don't go before you say hi to me if you'd like to. So after it's over, it blesses my heart to see you guys here, and I follow some of you on Facebook and get updates from the church as far as prayer requests go. But I'm really blessed to be here this morning. So. Mike just prayed. I'm also would like to pray and just ask God to speak to our hearts what he wants to say during this time. So let's pray one more time. Father God, Papa, I know that you have a lot to say. I don't have a lot to say. But I pray, Father, that your word would come to life. I pray, God, that you would speak to each heart what they need to hear from you. I pray, Papa, that you would comfort those who need comfort, that you would encourage those who need encouragement, that you would strengthen those, Lord, who need strengthening. God, that your kingdom come and that your will be done here in this congregation. I just thank you for the way that they have blessed me so much through the years. I thank you for Pastor Mike and his trust in giving me this microphone this morning. And God, I just ask that you would be absolutely glorified, Lord, in what's said today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, some of you know me, some of you might not know me. If you don't know me, I came to this church a long time ago, like 14 years ago now. So I feel a little bit older than I did then. You might understand how that feels also, some of you. Was part of the youth group here as far as leading the youth group, and then God called me on the mission field with an organization called Adventures in Missions, and went to Mexico and then spent time in Peru, and about 3 years ago came back off the field and am now working at the main office in Gainesville, Georgia. So I really want to run through quickly. I think I might skip the video. So I'll just click past it. Do I hit the arrow? Okay, perfect. Great. Give you an idea a little bit about what Adventures in Missions does. It's a short-term organization for the most part. We do have long-term missionaries, of which I was one, and we have about 69 to 70, depending on how you count it, long-term missionaries on the field right now. The main thing that Adventures in Missions does is called the World Race, which I don't know how many of you may have heard of the World Race before, but it's a program for post-college age students to go to 11 different countries in 11 months and kind of see what God's doing around the world and get a vision for his kingdom and his plans in a more global perspective. They also have a program called Gap Year, which is between high school and college for Gap Year, which does 9 months and 3 different countries, so 3 months in each country. Slightly different. And then they also have high school trips during the summer for like 2 to 4 weeks, and then youth group trips and things like that. So the heart of Adventures in Missions is to mobilize American youth and parents and people, but focusing on youth and then getting to the parents to them, to have a more missional understanding of the world and God's heart for the world. So that's basically what Adventures in Missions does. What I do, as far as right now, my position, because people ask me, what do you do? Sometimes I don't know what I do, but usually, right now, I'm working as a training advocate for our long-term missionaries. When I went on the field 14 years ago, my training was, you'll figure it out. So there are better ways to do things. Most long-term organizations train their missionaries for 2 months to a year before they go. And so I'm advocating for us to pour more into our long-term missionaries and equip them a little bit better before they go. Part of that also is member care. And so for our long-term missionaries on the field, what does it look like to care for them? So just like a pastor needs a pastor. Missionaries need pastoral care as well. It's just harder to find because who pastors the pastor? It's Sometimes it's difficult to find that person that you can share your struggles with, because usually you're the one that's giving out, and it's hard to find the person that you can be honest with about where you're at and what's going on with you. I think part of that is we put leaders up on a pedestal, and another part of it is that if you're struggling with something and I tell you my struggles, then it can be hard sometimes for you to receive any help from me. And so it's just that it's a tricky thing, and what does it look like to care for our missionaries well? So that's part of my heart and my passion for our missionaries, is that they'll be also well cared for on the field. Apart from that, I sit in front of a computer and I do fundraising accountability for our missionaries. I do reimbursements. I do spreadsheets, emails, lots of emails. So it's not as exciting as being in the jungles of Peru, but I need the God's grace just as much as I did then to stay there and do it with a joyful heart. So I'm grateful for the position that I have. It's not glamorous by any means, but there's a need for it. The long-term department at Adventures and Missions went from 5 people to 2 people, of which I'm one. So it's been a administratively quite the gap to fill. Now we have 3, so we have 1 person that's coming on that we also can help train. So just gives you an idea of what my day-to-day looks like. Outside the office, I still am involved in Peru in the Desafío program, which is the child sponsorship program for kids in school that don't have the resources to stay in school. So there are people that sponsor children in Peru, and I work with a pastor there, and we coordinate miraculously money and letters and communication every month with me here and him there. I don't always know how it happens, but God always makes it work. So that's a gift from God. And I've been volunteering at an organization in Gainesville, Georgia called Rape Response, which is a crisis line where once a month usually I get a burner phone and sometimes get calls on it and sometimes don't. So that's been something that God has been putting on my heart, just the need for women and men, but that have gone through sexual abuse, just to know their value and the hope that there is for healing and recovery. And then once a week I go to a retirement home and sing songs with old people. It's great fun. So it's one of my favorite things. We sing hymns. So what I kind of wanted to share this morning a little bit is what do you do when life doesn't turn out like you hoped or thought or wished that it would? I would rather be, to be very honest, in Peru. Like, that's still where my heart is. I still pray for the people there on a regular basis. I still have contact with people there. So my heart is still very much for the gospel to get a hold of especially the young people there that are just so broken from the families that they come from and what they've been through. And yet, this is where God has me right now. And so, what do you do when life doesn't look like you wish it would? And it's kind of a funny picture, but the expectations don't always match reality. But it's not always a fun thing to live through. And so, what do you do when it's a little more serious than just your job not lining up? What do you do when it's the friend that you're praying for that has cancer that doesn't get better? Or what do you do when it's your husband that was unfaithful that doesn't come back around to the Lord? Or what do you do when it's your child that has addiction problems that goes to recovery and falls back and relapses and goes to recovery and falls back and relapses? And it seems like your prayers aren't being heard like you wish they were. What do you do with your faith then when life doesn't come quite the way that you wish or hoped or thought when you read the Word of God that it would? So I want to share with you just a little bit about that this morning. There's a verse in Romans that God has kind of been, maybe not the exact verse, but this concept has been speaking to my heart. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" And I know that there have been times in my life when I hear prosperity gospel being preached, and I'm not a fan. If you give, my dad heard on public television the other day, a church, I have no idea which church it was, praise God. They said, if you sow your seed of $1,000, then you will see great financial benefits in your life this year. I don't have very much patience for that. However, sometimes we have the idea that if I do this for God, he will do this for me. If I teach Sunday school, then God will bless my children. If I go on the mission field, then God will give me the desires of my heart. And we have this idea that we give to God so that he will give to us. And it doesn't always work out like that. As a matter of fact, it usually doesn't work out like that. And it sets us up to become disappointed with God. It sets us up to become angry and resentful and a little bitter at, well, maybe God loves this person more than me because she's married and she has kids and I'm not. So how come they get that and I don't? What are they doing that I'm not doing? What's wrong with me? Or this person, their children look like they have it all together, and I look at my kids or my foster kid or other people's kids and they don't. And what did I do wrong as a parent? I went to church, I tithed, I did all these things, and yet people don't always turn out like we wish that they would or do what we wish they would do. And so the question is, what are we basing our foundation on? And what I want to share with you this morning is something that God has been speaking to me about. He doesn't give to us because we give to him. He gives to us because he delights to give to us, because he is good. And people have, unfortunately, free will. I have a free will. I can sin if I want to, and I do. And other people have free will, and they can sin if they want to, and they do. And sin always hurts. It always hurts me. It always hurts other people. There is no such thing as do what you want and nobody gets hurt. Whenever we go against the law of love and whenever we go against God's law of what is the best way to do things, somebody always gets hurt. That's not God's fault. It's never has been God's fault. And so Ephesians 3:17, it's one of my favorite verses, and it talks about where our roots should be and where our foundation should be. In Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus, and it's one of my favorite prayers for churches that support me and for people that I know and for myself and for other Christians, is that so that you being rooted and grounded in God's love. That's the only foundation that we can stand on that will not be shaken. That Christ might dwell in your heart through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How ridiculous is that? What kind of prayer is that? How can you know something that can't be known? He's basically saying, this is unknowable, but my prayer is that you'll know it. My prayer is that you know the height of it, the depth of it, the width of it, and the breadth of it. The only thing that I can come back to when things don't go the way that I wish they would is I come back to the cross of Christ. And I see how much he loves. And I see how far he was willing to go on man's free will, to spit in his face, to reject him, to turn him down, to say, no, that's not what I want. But he was willing to go to the utmost extreme to say, I still love you, and I will, and I choose to love you. And that's really hard to understand when things don't go the way that I wish that they would. But it doesn't negate the fact that he still loves me, and he still loves you, and he still loves that wayward child, and he still loves the husband that hasn't come back, and he still loves he still loves the people that disagree with me politically, and he still loves the people that I don't see eye to eye with on many things, and he still loves the people in Peru, and he still loves the drug addict here in Waterville. He still loves. It doesn't negate that. The only thing that we can do when it seems like our foundation is being shaken is to look for me, to look back to the cross and say, God, help me not to doubt your love for me. Your love is not based on my circumstances. If it were, then the widow in Iran who lost her husband because he was a follower of Christ, because he was a Christian, would have to say, God doesn't love me because of the circumstances in my life. And that's not true. It's not true. And so, the question I have for you and for myself today is our foundation solid? Or is it something that can be shaken? And I feel like this last few years that God has been in my life helping me to look at my foundation and see where it was not solid, where I was basing it on his response to my prayers in ways that I thought that he should answer them, and on the circumstances in my life and on the things that I wished could have been different. And so in Hebrews 12:27, there's a passage there that says, yet once more, it's talking about the time coming when there will be a shaking of things. It says, it indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made. The things that I have made, the things that other people have made, the things that I've been taught that haven't been true, and the things of this world that aren't going to last forever, which is pretty much all of them. This is in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And how easy is it to go before God and be like, Lord, consume the things in me that don't line up with who you are. It's not super easy. It's rather uncomfortable because I know that there's things in me that don't line up with who God is. But to be able to go before God and be like, Lord, I really want to look more like you. I really want people to see you in me. I really want to see things the way that you see them. Maybe my lenses are broken in some ways, and the things that I thought were true aren't true. So help me, God, to reset my foundation on your love, on the cross, on understanding why you came, who I am, and what I'm living for, and not based on what I wish were true. Does that make sense? So, when your foundation is off, it's not fun. And it's really uncomfortable. And it feels like the world around you is falling apart. So my prayer for you this morning is that God would pour out in your hearts and in my heart his love in a way that you know, that you know, that you know that he loves you because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Not because of what you do. Not because of what you've done. But because he loves you. Because he is love. Because he chooses to love every time, regardless of what might be facing him. every time. And that's the hope that Pastor Mike was talking about, that when I sin, I can go with confidence before the throne of God, because Christ paid for that. And I wish that when you became a Christian, you stopped sinning. But it's not true. And I wish that when other people became a Christian, they stopped sinning against you. But that's not true either. And so my prayer for you this morning is that God would pour out his love in each of your hearts, that you would know that you know that you know that you're loved. Not because of what's going on around you, but because you can look at the cross and you can feel God's love in your heart for you and for those around you. Romans 8:35 says, "Who then will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on what it looks like around us. Who's going to separate you from Christ's love? Who's going to do that? It can't be done. It can only be done in my perspective if I don't think it's there. It can only be done if I'm not seeing things correctly. There's nothing that can separate you from Christ's love. There's nothing that can separate me from Christ's love. Romans 11:35 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So I'd love to pray for you this morning. God doesn't orchestrate evil, but he is so able to use the things around us to form his character in us, to teach us how to forgive. He's so able to use my sin to show me his glory and to help others who are struggling if we're able to let him. And so my prayer for you today, and I'd love to pray for you, is just that God would pour his love out on you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you, God, for their desire to know you. I thank you for their desire, God, to walk with you. I pray, Papa, that you would pour your love out this morning on those that need to hear your voice, on those that need to know truth in a way, Lord, that it has been hard for them to receive before. I pray, God, that you would take away the understanding of tit for tat and earning love and earning grace and earning your approval. I pray, God, that you would help us understand that we are indeed all undeserving, and yet you call us worthy because you call us your children. God, I thank you that even though you do not save us from going through terrible times, Lord, you are with us, and you have promised that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. And God, I pray that you would restore trust today in hearts where it has been hard to trust you and what you're doing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.